This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. First Financial Tax and Accounting Services and Vantage Health Plan provides signature support. Matt Doyle and Lauren Hickman producing. Your number is 877-217-5757. Our email, talk@talklouisiana.org. We start with two seasoned politicos. Colonel Robert Leon Maness, better known as Rob, served as a colonel in the United States Air Force, and he is a leader in the conservative ranks in Louisiana, is head of Gator Pack. Rob Maness has a bachelor's degree from the University of Tampa, master's degree from Harvard's Kennedy School of Government, and he and his wife Candace reside in Madisonville, not far from John Neely Kennedy, our junior U.S. senator, father of five children. And Melissa Flournoy, longtime Louisiana politico, elected to the Louisiana House of Representatives when she was an extremely young individual in 1991, and she founded Louisiana's Association of Nonprofit Organizations, served as director of the RAND Gulf States Policy Institute, and served as state director for Planned Parenthood. She is board chair of Louisiana Progress and, of course, active in Democratic politics. And that brings us to where we are 7 weeks from today. If everything goes according to plan, Joseph Biden will be inaugurated as the President of the United States of America, and Donald John Trump will go down as a one-termer who lost both elections as far as the overall vote, but at the same time, he got 75 million votes, it appears, that when all the votes are counted, which will be the second most in the history of the United States. But right now, Joe Biden is almost 7 million votes ahead of Donald Trump, and by the time all the votes are tallied, it is almost certain that 7 million votes will separate these candidates. Yet the president has claimed voter fraud and has not conceded the election and says he will wait on what happens with the Electoral College. So let's begin there, and we'll start with Colonel Maness. Oops, I'm sorry. I think we've disconnected him. I disconnected him. So, Matt, please go for him. And while we're waiting for him, can you punch up Melissa Flournoy? And we'll get her take on whether or not there is any way possible that Donald Trump can end up retaining the presidency, or is this a done deal beyond done deals? Melissa Flournoy, your thoughts. Good morning, Melissa.
Can you hear me, Jim?
Yeah, yes, I can.
Okay, I say stick a fork in it, it's over. When Attorney General Bill Barr came out yesterday and said there was no significant evidence of voter fraud anywhere that would change the results of the election, I think that was a good signal that it's time to move on and recognize the fact that Joe Biden is the next president of the United States.
Well, to this point, I think the only Louisiana congressional member who has said what you have said is Bill Cassidy. The others are quite silent on this matter, including John Kennedy, Steve Scalise, Garrett Graves, Clay Higgins, Mike Johnson, and whoever wins in the district being vacated by Ralph Abraham. That's not really something that's being discussed a lot in the runoff between Letlow and Harris. So why is there this reluctance by the Republican Party to say the deal is done, that Joe Biden is going to become the president?
Well, I'm really disappointed in our elected Republican leaders in Congress, because I think they're just afraid of Donald Trump. And they have an opportunity here to really demonstrate some leadership for themselves and for the state of Louisiana and step up and say, this election was legitimate. Joe Biden will be the next president. You know, what can we do to make sure that Louisiana is well represented in the White House? We've got Cedric Richmond. You know, this should be a time for Louisiana elected officials to be strategizing on how to move forward with the new president, not having this bizarre sense of loyalty to Donald Trump.
877-217-5757. We will go to the phones in just a moment, but let's get Colonel Maness. And Colonel, I apologize for disconnecting you, but Are you in accord that it's a done deal that Biden's the next president, or is there still hope for President Trump to somehow, some way, prove voter fraud and get the Electoral College to overturn what appears to be a decided victory for his opponent? What do you think?
Well, first of all, Jim, thanks for having me on. I appreciate you and the subject, really. You know, it's not a done deal until the Electoral College votes are counted and certified. So, you know, the president has every right, just as our recent president, Al Gore, did in 2000, to continue his efforts to win in the Electoral College. You know, we're not even, I think we're about 2 weeks away from where the timeline on where Gore was. So, the hand-wringing on the other side of the aisle and really loud voices of people trying to say that, he's subverting the election, I think it's just a little bit overblown and not really necessary, and makes it really tough because, you know, recent polling, and no polling is not real reliable these days, indicates that upwards of 47% of the American people don't see this election as a legitimate election at this point.
All right. Of course, that may be because the president got 47% of the votes. And the people who voted for him don't want to give up the ghost until he does. And could he do the country a service by saying it's over and step aside gracefully and allow his opponent to take office? Hillary Clinton, who ran a race in which she won the overall vote by almost 3 million votes, lost in the Electoral College by the same margin that President Trump has lost this time, if things go according to form. She, on the next day, conceded the election. And the Gore election was much different because the Bush election over Gore, Gore actually got a half million more votes, more than a half million more votes than Bush did in that race. And the election came down to 537 votes in Florida. And there was a recount ongoing that was stopped by the U.S. Supreme Court on a 5-4 vote. So this one is not a close race, 306 to 232 in the Electoral College, and 7 million votes separating Biden and Trump. It's the same margin of victory as far as overall votes that George Bush the first beat Michael Dukakis by in 1988. And if Dukakis had been saying voter fraud, they would have put him in a straitjacket. 877-217-5757. Let's go to Patrick in Ennis-Walda States. Patrick, you're on Talk Louisiana. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Jim. Look, for 4 years, we heard about how Trump stole the last election from Russians. So all of a sudden, it's now over for this investigation. We have a lot of mail-in voting, a lot of absentee voting. We have people not voting in person, not signing, not showing their ID to vote. Something needs to be done to make sure that we know who's voting is actually voting. And I understand that if someone is disabled or they, you know, they're in a severe disability or they have to go somewhere, only those people should be allowed to vote by mail, or, you know, should have a very valid reason.
All right. Well, Melissa Fornoy, is there any indication that voting by mail is fraught with fraud? Is there any indication of that?
No, there's not. I mean, and if you voted by mail in Louisiana, you get a ballot from the Secretary of State. You've got to sign it. You have to have a witness to it. It has to match the voter rolls. One of the things is that all 50 secretaries of state have worked with the federal government to ensure data matching for voting. And so I just do not think that there was systematic voter fraud across multiple states for mail-in voting. I think the technology is there to prohibit that. And so I actually am an advocate for mail-in voting, particularly in the COVID. And so I have confidence in the vote this year.
All right. Well, it does appear that Biden won the mail-in voting overwhelmingly, and Trump won the votes, a majority of them, that were cast on Election Day. And that may come down to the philosophy of the two parties. And the Republican president, of course, has stated that life should go on in the COVID age. But as far as mail-in voting, Rob Maness, the president believes that this is something that has cost him a lot of votes that should have gone to him or should not have gone to his opponent. Does he have a point, or is this just a way of him to muddy the waters. What do you think?
No, I don't think that that folks that are out here on the ground observing this are really paying that much attention to what President Trump's saying, although he is correct and was prescient in showing that this huge amount of mail-in voting, especially in these five key swing states, which are different from Louisiana. Louisiana has a very good system that the governor and the legislature and the Secretary of State put together. I'm very confident in it. But I'm not confident in what I've seen so far out of states like Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan, Georgia, Arizona, and Nevada.
All right. Well, those states were all decided by more than 10,000 votes. So if there was fraud, there would have to be a lot of it. And obviously, the president is claiming there was fraud and that all the fraud was to help his opponent. We'll talk more with Melissa Fornoy and Rob Banish. Your number 877-217-5757. Back in 90 seconds. This is Jim Inkster. Thanks for being with us for Talk Louisiana. Colonel Rob Maness on the right, Melissa Fornoy on the left. And Colonel Maness was with us a few times last year. And he, I think if I remember correctly, reluctantly, and I'm reminded by a listener of this, reluctantly backed John Bel Edwards for governor Louisiana, so he is not always going by the Republican playbook. But when it comes to the president of the United States, who once scolded Rob Maness back in 2014, telling him he should get out of the race, that he was hurting Bill Cassidy, I think you nonetheless, despite that unpleasantry with the president, you have backed him fervently and believe he did a good job. Am I stating it correctly, Colonel Maness?
I think most of his policies he did a great job on. You know, I'm like a lot of other people. I would like to see his personal animus be withheld a little bit more than what he does. I think that's caused him quite a few problems. But I also am very concerned about what's been going on the last 4 years in the country with the big corporate media and the Democrat Party politicizing so much and going after the guy for 4 years when the policies that he's going to be known for, I think, if he does lose, and it's looking like he is going to lose in the Electoral College. Nobody, I don't think, is denying that, is that, you know, Operation Warp Speed. It looks like we're going to have vaccines for COVID on the ground, going to the elderly and first responders and healthcare workers, you know, around the middle of the month. I think he's going to be known for the Middle East peace successes that he's helped facilitate.
All right. And before we go to the callers, a few listeners have noted that the president, has appointed three Supreme Court justices, all of whom wear their conservative credentials proudly, and the last being Amy Coney Barrett of New Orleans. And whether you like him or not, and I don't think you like him very much, Melissa, he has left a mark on the American fabric for a long, long time to come, even if he goes away on January 20th and never comes back.
Well, I think that's really true, particularly around the number of federal judges that have been jammed through. I think Mitch McConnell gets a lot of the credit for the judicial push-through of these federal judges. But you're right. The Supreme Court has been reoriented to a much more conservative focus. And we'll have to see what comes up next and so how these judges vote. I'm actually a little bit relieved that Gorsuch and Kavanaugh so far have been mainstream like Judge John Roberts. So.
All right. 877-217-5757 is your number. And talk at talklouisiana.org is our email. And if you get a busy signal, be patient. We're going to get to as many of you as we can. And please be brief in your remarks. Dan downtown. Dan, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana. Hi, Dan.
Yeah, Colonel. Colonel?
Yes, the Colonel is on.
As a military man, don't you have to concede that what Trump's doing would earn him the equivalent of an oak leaf cluster to the poor loser ribbon.
All right. The president's not a military man, by the way.
No.
So Well, the president was, for all intents, a draft dodger. He got 6 deferments with his bone spurs, and Joe Biden got 6 deferments with his asthma. Do either one of these gentlemen have the moral authority to call men and women off to fight wars when they chose to find every way possible to stay out of the war of their generation, Colonel?
You know, Mr. Clinton didn't go, and he was right in the heart of the age group for the Vietnam War, too. You know, it's just one of those things. We don't have all military people that serve as president of the United States, even though they become the commander-in-chief. And those of us that have served for as a career in that understand that, and that's something that we just have to come to terms with. But I don't. He hasn't lost yet until the Electoral College votes and that process is complete. He hasn't lost yet. Now, if this continues after he loses, we'll think about the Oak Leaf Cluster.
Well, I think he has lost, but obviously the president is not going to ever concede defeat. He won't even concede defeat if the Electoral College, when the Electoral College makes Biden the president. You can bet Donald Trump is never, never going to say he lost at anything. And, of course, here's a man who's had 2 marriages go south and declared bankruptcy 6 times, but he has never lost, according to his view of the world. Let's go to Rebel in Sherwood. Rebel, you're on with Colonel Maness. Hi, Rebel.
Hi, Jim, and thank you so much, folks. Thank you for being here and answering our questions. Mr. Maness, this is for you because, you know, I've been impressed with you over the years as a fairly decent Republican. You were even willing to call out the corruption of the state Republican Party, and yet every time I hear you, you're still acting like a sycophant for what is undoubtedly the most criminal president in American history. Why, sir?
All right. Why are you a staunch backer of our president despite his obvious shortcomings?
I think a lot of people, like my friend there, are blinded by their hatred for this man personally when the people that voted for him, and I voted for him in the general election, not in the primary, when he won in 2016, the people that voted for him don't see him as the issue. It's the policies of America First, not starting any new wars, which he has not done. You mentioned the Supreme Court judges. Now, I have a lot to disagree with the President of the United States on, especially along spending and those kind of things. And I'm not a Republican, by the way, at this time. I left the Republican Party over the governor's race, and I'm registered as an independent. You know, what can I say?
All right, Melissa Flournoy, are detractors of the president blinded by their dislike of him personally? Is that a big part of the aversion to anything that the president says or does? What do you think?
Well, I want to go back to the commander-in-chief question because I think Joe Biden is qualified to be commander-in-chief because he's a gold star father. And so he had a son who fought, and even though his son died by brain cancer, he did serve in the military. And so I have confidence in Joe Biden to understand what's at stake. And I think it's interesting to hear the Republicans say, oh, the Democrats are just, you know, they hate everything Trump does. When we had to live through 8 years of, did people forget how mean people were to President Obama?
All right. Henry and at the Country Club of Louisiana. Henry, you're on with Melissa and with Colonel Maness. Hi, Henry.
Well, good morning, Mr. Jim. Good morning, Miss Melissa. Good morning, Colonel. One thing I seem to be noticing in the Trump push on this is to disenfranchise African American or predominantly African American areas, Philadelphia, Milwaukee, Atlanta, et cetera.
Detroit.
The only one that we're not too sure of is Edison County, Michigan, that Ms. Powell is including in her lawsuit. Does anybody know the demographics of that county?
All right. Do you know it, Henry? All right. Henry hung up. But it appears the president of the United States is definitely pointing to minority areas where he believes there was voter fraud, and some would call that racist, that he's pointing to those areas. But Obviously, there, according to the president, there was no voter fraud in Louisiana because he won here by 18 points. Is it rather convenient to look at these minority areas and say, look, that's where the voter fraud was, and not say that perhaps there was voter fraud in other places if you really believe there was some kind of chicanery going on, Colonel Maness?
I just think that's ridiculous, Jim. It's the way it played out. That's where the majority of the mail-in ballots that put Biden over the top over the days after the election of counting. That has nothing to do with race other than that's where folks are. And let me make a correction about Biden being a gold star dad. He is not a gold star parent. Gold star parents are parents of children that died in combat for the United States of America.
And his son did not, but Joe Biden did lose a son who served heroically in the United States military. Bo Biden is a person who certainly was a fine man. And the president-elect also lost his wife and a daughter in a car wreck, so he has had some challenges in his life. We'll talk more after this pause for the news. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. Matt Doyle and Lauren Hickman are producing on the second day of December 2020. 877-217-5757 for Colonel Maness and Representative Flournoy. Melissa Flournoy with Louisiana Progress, Colonel Maness with Gator Pack. Melissa's on the left, Colonel Maness on the right. We're talking about national politics right now, but we might segue to the local scene as we finish this segment, and Mike Roizen, head of the Wellness Center at the Cleveland Clinic, is on deck. Let's go to David in Atlanta. David, you're on the air with Melissa and with Colonel Maness. Hi, David.
Good morning. Colonel Maness, given that you supported Judge Roy Moore, twice removed from the bench, a man banned from shopping malls for being a likely child molester, I can understand why you've never been elected to anything. He was even rejected by the Republican state in Alabama. You are an extremist, and you don't have the judgment to serve in public office.
All right. Well, these two have a history together, and David is obviously not a fan of Colonel Maness. But Roy Moore, did he get a bad rap, or was he a good riddance? What do you think, Colonel Maness?
Well, on the hoax charges against him, the proof's in the pudding. Where's the trial and the conviction? And as you know, that completely conveniently disappeared there. But I'm not going to comment any more on that individual from Atlanta who is not even a Louisiana voter because he just really doesn't matter.
All right. Well, what about Roy Moore? That enabled the Democrats to briefly have a U.S. Senate seat. Melissa Flournoy, Doug Jones won.
Well, I think Doug Jones was a civil rights icon. He prosecuted the guys from the Birmingham church bombing. I think he deserved to be in the United States Senate. I'm actually disappointed that the Auburn football coach beat Doug.
Beat him like a drum, too.
You know, Trump did really well in Mississippi, Alabama, and Louisiana, and I think the decks were stacked against Doug Jones.
All right. Well, the SEC, the 11 states of the Southeastern Conference, remain Trump country with the exception of Georgia, where David in Atlanta resides. That's the only time in two elections of the 22 SEC states, 22 counting two elections, that Trump lost a state that is in the Southeastern Conference. And by the way, Alabama's a 30-point favorite over LSU in Saturday's tilt at Tigers Stadium. Let's go to Tom on Highland. Tom, you're on with Colonel Maness and with Representative Flournoy. Hi, Tom.
Hello?
Yes, Tom, you're on the air.
Yeah, I'm concerned that the ideological commitments of the GOP are going further and further to the right. It seems to me that they're so extreme that many of them are willing to take the route of Argentina during the Dirty War or Chile during Pinochet.
All right. Well, Melissa, before we get to Colonel Maness, who is no longer a member of the GOP, are both parties moving to the flanks, the Democrats moving leftward and the Republicans moving rightward? Is that a fair assessment of where we are right now?
No, I think it's true that the loudest voices are on the extreme right and extreme left. And I think one of the reasons that Joe Biden got elected is that he historically has been a common sense, more moderate, more willing to cross the aisle and talk to people. And I think most people in Louisiana and most people in America want to return to common sense, and they want to return to normalcy. And it's the shouting on the extremes that is really creating the political tension and some of the fear, frankly, on both sides.
All right, 877-217-5757. James in Metairie. James, you're on Talk Louisiana. Hi, James.
Well, good morning to you, Jim. Colonel Menace, I got a couple of questions, or a question for you. Donald Trump, it's been reported, does not plan to invite Joe Biden into the White House or even call him. He's also, there's talk of having a simultaneous event, inauguration kickoff, at the same time that Joe Biden is being sworn in as president. This is despicable behavior. Could you comment on Trump's just unprofessional, just unbelievably crude behavior?
All right. What about the president? And there are reports of this. I suspect he'll never concede. That's apparent. But he may go so far as to have a counter rally at the same time Biden's being inaugurated. That would take some chutzpah. But this president is capable of that. Rob Maness, what do you think?
Well, I think Trump's following Hillary Clinton's advice to Joe Biden, and he probably never will concede. I agree with you on that, Jim. I also agree with Melissa on what she said about the extreme sides and everything that she said about that. I know she's going to faint when she hears that, but I just want to get that out there. The rally, I've heard some things about it, but I'm not sure if that's really going to happen, although it wouldn't surprise me because Mr. Trump's got the ability to get tens of thousands of people out in the streets. And
all right. Well, today, front page, New York Times, Trump said to discuss pardons for his children and Giuliani. The president has discussed with advisors whether to grant preemptive pardons to his children, to his son-in-law, and to his personal lawyer, and talked with Mr. Giuliani about pardoning him as recently as last week, according to two people briefed on the matter. Melissa Fornoy, would this be beyond the pale, or would you be accepting of the president if he were to go this route?
Well, he has the right to pardon. That's his right. But, I mean, what we know about Donald Trump was that he was just not raised right. He has no manners. He has no respect for tradition. And I just think it sends a terrible signal if he thinks all of his children have broken federal law and need to have pardons. And so I think that's just unbelievable.
All right. Well, Colonel Maness, should the president do this? And of course, the counterargument would be that some prosecutor might take great delight in indicting Ivanka or Jared or Giuliani, and that this would put an end to that. Colonel Maness, is this something the president should even consider, considering that there will be a political fallout if he does this? What do you think?
Well, I agree with Melissa again in that it's terrible that he's even having to think about this. If in fact that's true, that he's considering it, I'd like to see him pardon Julian Assange and Edward Snowden. Those would be well needed pardons to get our country back on the track of liberty and freedom of the press.
Paul in Opelousas. Paul, you're on with Colonel Maness. Hi, Paul.
I'm doing good, Jim. Good morning. Good morning. Quick question. Mitch McConnell, do you think the rest of the Republican House, Republican elected officials, are basically waiting on him to say it's over and then they make their move, or they're going to hold out? Thank you.
Well, wait a minute. Hold on there. Are you saying that McConnell should be dumped as a Senate Majority Leader? Is that what you're implying? Okay. I think McConnell has, of course, also not conceded the election, but we have two races in Georgia. And right now, for all intents, considering that Kamala Harris will cast a vote for Democrats, the margin is 50-49 for Republicans in the Senate. So if Democrats win both seats, they've got it 51-50. If Republicans win one seat, they've got it 51-50. If they win two, then they're ahead 52-49. Colonel Maness, the Senate races in Georgia mean a whole lot. Do you think that come January, the whole world will be watching what's happening in the Peach State?
Oh, I think think so, Jim. For those of us that are concerned about the mail-in ballot issue, I hope that Georgia is using this time to make sure that they've got all their I's dotted and T's crossed to ensure that that's an election with integrity.
All right. Well, the Republican Secretary of State says the recent election was one of integrity, and Donald Trump lost a close race in Georgia. First time Georgia's gone to a Democrat since 1992 in a presidential election. But, Melissa, what about the two races for U.S. Senate in Georgia?
Well, I think one of the reasons Georgia has flipped over in the blue column in the president's race, and I hope that the two Senate spots go to Reverend Warnock and John Ossoff, is that they really have done a great job mobilizing new voters, young people, African-American voters, college-age voters. And so I think it's a great story around voter mobilization. I don't think the story is about voter fraud. I think the story is about voter turnout and enfranchisement.
All right.
And I actually trust the Secretary of State in Georgia, who's a Republican.
Before we leave you, there is a mayor's election in Baton Rouge Saturday, a Democrat incumbent, Sharon Weston Broome, who I know you know well, Melissa, against Republican challenger, former State Representative Steve Carter. Last time it was 52-48, Broome beat Bodie White. How do you see Saturday's election?
I think Sharon will win, and I think it'll probably be 54% for Sharon. I think she's competent and compassionate. She's very sensible. She's done a good job as mayor. She deserves to be reelected. And Baton Rouge needs to pull together and not pull apart. And I think we need Sharon as mayor.
All right. Well, Colonel Manus, I don't know how closely you followed this race in the largest parish in the state, but it is a tight race. And they debated Monday at the press club. I was honored to be the moderator. And both candidates agreed that each was a nice person, and I think that is true. Baton Rouge is putting two very special people on the ballot, and that's great. But Carter, who I think you normally would be inclined to support, is an acolyte, if you will, of Lane Grigsby. Does that bother you at all?
It absolutely bothers me. I think Mayor Weston Broome's going to win re-election. I'd be very surprised if Carter's able to pull off a win.
All right. Well, Carter's had an avalanche of political ads on the air, and they are hard-hitting about crime in Baton Rouge. And some seasoned politicos said, based on turnout, we do have an Alabama game Saturday, and turnout will be much lower than it was in the presidential election, that it will be potentially a tight race with Broome as the solid favorite. But Carter is, he's got a shot. Not a great shot, but a shot. And we'll be talking more about that in the next few days. Melissa Flournoy, thank you so much. Colonel Manus, always a pleasure. Let's do it again soon. And we'll be back with Michael Roizen. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Hope you're having a great day, beautiful day in our community. And we are 3 days away from Election Day, and we're 7 weeks away from the inauguration of President Joseph Robinette Biden, who will become the 46th American president, the oldest person to ever take the oath of office. He is 78 years old, which means if he serves one term, he would leave office at 82. And if he serves two, he would leave office at the age of 86. And perhaps that says something about our world, is that people are living longer and are productive into their 70s and 80s. But you can bet no matter what happens in the next 4 years, it will be a highly competitive race in 2024, whether it's Biden running as the Democratic nominee or Kamala Harris or somebody else. There will be a number of Republicans, it'll be kind of like it was in 2016 running, unless Donald Trump can continue to consolidate the Republican Party behind him and is inclined to repeat the feat of Grover Cleveland and be president twice with one person in between. Cleveland was president number 22 and number 24. If Trump were to achieve this, he would be president number 45 and number 47. 877-217-5757 is your number, and we are waiting for Dr. Roizen in Cleveland, and we hope to make contact with him. Always a fascinating guest, head of the Wellness Center, and he's a gentleman who we talked to a few times over the years, and he is one of the best at telling us how to stay well in these times and at any time, and with lots of stress, and right now a lot of people cooped up inside, it's harder to be in shape, and diet is more important than ever. After all, if we're not exercising as much, we shouldn't be eating more, but in many cases, people are bored, looking for something to do, and that's why they're calling it the Quarantine 15. But as we endeavor to make contact with Mike Roizen, let's review what's going on in the world of politics right now. Joe Biden, in the latest vote count, has 80,957,453 votes. Donald Trump has 74,086,382. So that's a margin of 6,961,000 votes. So Joe Biden will end up, it looks like, winning the overall vote by 7 million votes. Now, how in the world would the American people accept an election in which one person won over the other by 7 million votes and was denied the presidency? But the Electoral College is such that some weird vote configuration could cause that to happen. And in this case, the overall margin is immense, but when you look at Georgia, which has 16 electoral votes, Biden won there by fewer than 13,000 votes. By fewer than 13,000 votes. He won in Arizona by about 10,000 votes. And he won in Wisconsin by about 20,000 votes. So put those together, and if fewer than 50,000 votes in the right places had gone the other direction, the electoral vote would have been, well, let's add 16 and 20 and 11 together, and we get 47. So if that were to have happened, where Trump could have eked out wins in Arizona, Georgia, and Wisconsin, which he almost did, the electoral vote would be 269 to 269, meaning that it would go to the U.S. House of Representatives. And even though Democrats have the majority, Republicans have more states, and it's each state that has a vote, which means that Donald Trump quite possibly, probably, would have retained the presidency despite losing by 7 million votes. And that's where we are. In the last 8 elections, Democrats have won the overall vote 7 times, but have only 5 victories to their credit. And one of those, of course, is still being contested by the president. So, and it's the only election in America in which somebody can receive more votes than the other person and lose. Only election in America. Why do we allow this to happen? A vote in Louisiana does not count as much as a vote in Wyoming, and a vote in California does not count as much as a vote in Louisiana, but that is the way things are. 877-217-5757 is your number. Let's go to Phil in Jefferson Terrace. Phil, you're on Talk Louisiana. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Jim. And I would point out that in the impeachment trial, all of those whistleblowers and people who testified, they testified under oath. So they risked their careers and their reputations to tell the truth about what they know to impeach the president. And all this other stuff from the Republican side, that's all propaganda. None of these people have been put under oath to tell their side, to say that there is fraud. So,
all right. Well, the president says he has affidavits. That's what he said in that conference call he had last week. I don't know of any affidavits, but remember, he also said he had definitive evidence that Barack Obama was not born in the United States of America. And of course, he had no evidence. He just said he had evidence, and that's how his political career was spawned, by an untruth, and now it's ending, at least for now. He's leaving the White House on another untruth that fraud cost him this election. And if there was fraud, that means what? A lot of votes had to be changed, and all of them in his favor. And if you ask the president, I'm sure he will not even acknowledge that he lost the overall vote. But he is the first American president to be elected to never have won the popular vote in two elections. He lost by almost 3 million votes in 2016 to Hillary Clinton, and now he's lost by 7 million to Joe Biden. So put those two together, that's a deficit of 10 million votes for President Trump. Presidents Reagan, well, Reagan had a 25 million vote advantage over Walter Mondale and Jimmy Carter. 25 million plus Reagan, or Trump's a 10 million deficit. Clinton had a 14 million vote margin over Bush and Dole, and Obama had a 14 million vote margin over McCain and Romney. 877-217-5757. Cody in Lafayette. Cody, you are on Talk Louisiana. Good morning to you. Hi, Cody.
Good morning. I think one of the easiest fix for the Electoral College problem is that we need to increase the number of members of the House of Representatives. That number hasn't been increased since the early 1900s, and it was fixed at the current level in order to help try to maintain power in the rural states. Unlike a lot of other changes people propose, all it would take would be a simple majority in both houses of Congress and the president to sign off to say that the House of Representatives should go back to what it was supposed to be, which is representing the people. Unfortunately, because of the limited number and the fact that each state gets at least one representative, we had this skew where one representative in Wyoming may represent maybe 500,000 people, while another representative in California may represent over a million people. If the House of Representatives actually reflected the population of the United States more evenly, I think a lot of this discrepancy between the Electoral College and the popular vote would go away. And it would make our representatives much more representative.
I'm with you on that. I think that that's a good idea. Obviously, right now, with 435 members of the U.S. House of Representatives and 330 million American people, Congress people represent more people. Excuse me, more people now than they did in previous iterations. The country has grown exponentially in people, and look back just 40 years ago, and we've got a third more people now than we had then, and yet we have the same number of House seats. So I think that's a good idea. Thank you, Cody. Tom in Bluebonnet. Tom, you're on Talk Louisiana. Hi, Tom.
Yeah, just expanding on that idea, I have worked it out. If you doubled the size of the House of Representatives, we would still be a little bit less than most of the other countries that have a popular House elected, like the members of Parliament in Britain. The House of Commons size is larger than our House of Representatives, and they have a smaller population. Oddly enough, it looks like if you take the cube root of the population and you graph it, it fits very well the major democracies that have a representative people house.
Well,
and it would have changed the Bush versus Gore, but if you double the size of the house, I know what the previous caller said, but it would not have changed the 2016 results.
No, Trump won in the Electoral College. He was correct. It was a rout, 306 to 232, and that's because he won three big states in the Midwest, Michigan, Pennsylvania and Wisconsin by very, very small margins of victory, and that enabled him to win 306 to 232. He also won Florida by a point. It was a closer race in Florida 4 years ago than it was this time, much closer. So Trump won resoundingly in the Electoral College, but Joe Biden won resoundingly in the Electoral College, too. In fact, the margin is the same, 306 to 232. But if you remember, 4 years ago, some electoral voters went rogue, and the actual margin was 304 to 227 because Clinton lost five votes and Trump lost two. Let's see what happens in a few weeks. It'll be interesting. Thanks for joining us. Hopefully, we'll catch up with Dr. Roizen soon. First Financial Tax and Accounting Services and Vantage Health Plan provide signature support. Thanks for listening. Stay safe and stay tuned.